Thank you, Joel. Good morning, everyone. It's certainly great to be back in the States after you travel to the Middle East and spend a couple weeks there. You really appreciate the freedoms that we have in the U.S. When it comes to many things, but especially worshiping the Lord, sharing the gospel. And so this morning, I want to talk with you guys about the church will prevail. The church will prevail. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to share a little bit from the Word here this morning, kind of to kick us off, and then I'm going to be inviting up a few of those that went on the vision tour. If you are online with us this morning, we are going to cut the feed before I bring the people up, so you'll just kind of get half of the service. So I'm thankful that you guys are here this morning because there's some really incredible things to share. You know, God is doing some great things through our little church. It is a joy to, for these 27 years now, be a part of this church, the church that God started, the church that God builds. That's what I want to talk about with you this morning. This is the church, and we are indeed a church that has that vision to be like the church in Acts, where we want to see God raising people up. We want to see ourselves as a sending hub, we like to call it. Acts 13, we find the church of Antioch doing that very thing. Acts chapter 6, we find the church of Jerusalem being that very thing. Of course, Acts chapter 19, we find the church of Ephesus being that very thing. That it's kind of like a central place of activity, of discipleship, of the Word of God being taught, of people getting saved, of people growing in the Lord, people worshiping the Lord, and then people being sent out from the church. And they go out and they come back in. And as Joel had mentioned, that the R family will be here this week, so we're excited to have them. They'll be here home from North Africa on furlough, and it's always a blessing. And of course, Mr. R, just for security purposes, will be sharing with the men at the men's meet night. It's going to be great. He always has a great word to bring to us. You know, there's a lot of movement in our church, and we have the Zavalas visiting us this morning. How you guys doing? Yeah. Served for 19 years faithfully in Africa, and just I was talking to Dave before the service. I told him he was the guinea pig. We're doing things a little different now, and he said I wouldn't take back one thing, and I so agree with him. But I told him, yeah, but you were the guinea pig. We learned a lot, didn't we? What a joy it is to just see God's faithfulness through the years and just the labor. And of course, they're back here in the States now and serving still on the mission front with FRM, Far Reaching Ministries. And I actually, when we were in, Tim and I were in Mexico with the team, there's Dave. What a joy it was to be on the field again with you, Dave. That was awesome. And just on the intern front, one of our interns is in the Republic of Georgia. That is close to Russia, Middle East, and that is my son Nathaniel. And so he's there right now on a missions trip there with his girlfriend as they're visiting her parents. As you, of course, many of us remember the Kula family, they are serving over there in the Republic of Georgia at the Calvary Chapel Bible College there. And so a lot of moving parts. 20 of us had the privilege to go to the Middle East and to go out on a vision tour. I think there's like 13 or 14 of them were interns. And of course, our internship is a missions internship here at the church and training up. And of course, we have the School of Missions and continue to pray for that. And I'll give you guys some more updates in the weeks to come about the School of Missions this summer in Mexico. It's kind of the place where we catch those young people that have that heart and sense that call on their life to go out and to be missionaries. And what a joy it is to invest into their lives. And of course, we then have an internship here at the fellowship for them that feel that call after that school, and they take the next step. So those that are here, they're praying, saying, God, here am I, send me. And they're just so open. And what a joy it is for us as a church and for those of us that are part of the fellowship here to be around these young, adults that feel that call in their lives to go. And it's very stirring for our faith. It's also a blessing for them to have you guys. And I just want to encourage you and those of you that have taken the time to build relationships with them, to open your homes to them, to invest into them spiritually. Thank you so much, because we are one body. And when the body works together, the body's healthy. When the body's healthy, the body does what it's supposed to do. And that's what we're seeing. And I bring greetings from the Middle East from our brother Jordan, one of our interns who was the first one to be sent out. Of course, he was sent out a month ago, and we went and visited him in his country and served alongside of him, and he was greatly encouraged and wants to give you guys greetings and just thank you and continue to pray for him. Hopefully, you're on his update list. If not, we'll encourage you to do that. Well, I want to draw our attention this morning to Matthew chapter 16, and I want to start reading from verse 13 and go through verse 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And listen to this, church. "And the gates of Hades," or the gates of hell, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, to be your church, the one that you're building, the one that you're in charge of, the one that you said that the gates of hell themselves will not stop your church. And so, God, we today are part of your kingdom, a kingdom that is unstoppable, a kingdom that is prevailing, even when it looks like we're not, even Lord, as Paul said, that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Even when we feel like we're being conquered, we need to know that we are more than conquerors. God, I pray you would breathe life into us today. You'd bring hope into our hearts. Stir us up for your gospel, Lord, for the call on our lives to be, Lord, your witnesses. Lord, hear from our Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And we just thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a great passage for us to kind of just lay a little foundation this morning as we think about what Jesus says. Jesus here declares that he's going to build his church upon the promise that the declaration that Peter made. And he said, "Hey, Peter, by the way, this isn't of you. This revelation you have that I'm the Christ, that I'm the Son of the living God, this revelation that you have is indeed from God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock," he says, "I will build my church." Verse 18, upon this rock, what rock? The rock of Jesus Christ, the rock of who he is, that he is indeed the Savior of the world. That's what the word Messiah refers to. Now, this is the first time in the Bible the word church has ever been mentioned. I want you to think about that. This is his first introduction, and the very first introduction to this idea of a new people of God called out from not just the Jews, but from all peoples, all tongues, all tribes, all nations. He calls them out. The word church is just kind of the assembly, the gathering, the called out ones, you could translate it. They've been called out of darkness, as Peter says later on in his epistle, into God's marvelous light, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, he says. And God's called us together for a purpose. We've talked much here at our fellowship about the purpose of the church. And again, from almost every angle we turn in our Bibles, we see a theme of the purpose of the church, that we exist on this earth to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and to share the word of God and to make disciples, the evangelization and discipleship of all people. It's kind of our theme, a definition of the purpose of our lives as God's people called his church. Well, when Jesus introduces this, he says, by the way, I want you to know that the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. The church is the most powerful force on the planet Earth and in all the universe. I want you to think about that, and you are a part of the church. And it isn't because you're a part of the church, it's the most powerful force. It's because Jesus is the head of the church. Notice he calls it my church. This church isn't my church. This is Jesus' church. We are his church. And he says, and I will build my church. And what we experienced out there on the field, as we went out with these interns and a few others, and we went out and we prayed, and we went out to do what we call a vision tour, to say, God, is this what you have? And each individual's there praying, God, is this what you have? Is this what you want for me and for my life? So we went out. The Lord met us. The Lord spoke to us. But we also were struck with the reality of how difficult the task is. But we also then remember that Jesus said, listen, you're not going to build my church. You missionaries aren't going out and building my church. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, well, they're not going to stop the church. Of course, when you think about in the New Testament time, a city was built with walls and it had a gate. That's how you'd enter the city. It's like the city of hell, the place of Hades, the abode, the literal word is abode of the dead. We're going to reach in and we're going to rescue people from the judgment to come with the gospel, of course. And so hell itself can't stop God's church. And so I want to encourage us this morning with that, because God has called us to go in and to make a difference wherever we are. And I know that not all of us are called. I'm not called to move to the Middle East, at least not at this point in my life. Of course, I want and I pray all of us are always open. God, I'm willing to go and do whatever you want me to. If we're not open to that, then there's an issue in our hearts of surrender. Well, I'll never do that. I'll never go there. That's not something you should brag about. That's something you should be kind of like ashamed about. Maybe if that's true, yeah, Lord, deal with me. Because, Lord, I want to be open to your will for my life. But we recognize that it's not God's will for all of us to pick up and move to the Middle East. Boy, we're all called, aren't we? We're all called to care about the Middle East or whatever part of the world, souls that are perishing. This is the purpose of our lives. God is continuing wanting to build his church. Today in America, the vision of building the church is just making a giant, big church. But you know, when God speaks about building his church, he's talking about building his church where there is no church. Paul the Apostle says in Romans 15, he says, I've made it my aim to preach Christ where he is not named. He says, I don't want to build on another man's foundation. I don't want to build a church where the church has already been built. But once a church has been built, I want to continue to move on. And so that ought to be the vision in our eyes. That ought to be the focus. Fortunately today, that's not the focus of so many Christians. And just listen, the statistics just reveal that. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to judge. I'm just bringing forth truth. Today, there is over 40% of the world who has never heard the name of Jesus. And there isn't a lot of effort to build a church in those areas. And this is our heart, is we want to go to those difficult places. They're hard. They're difficult. There's a map I want to show you guys, just a reminder of what is called the unreached. Of course, the box there is the 1040 window. 1040 window represents, and the red on this map, they're actually dots. And I know that like they're around India and Asia there, it's like all red. They're literally dots upon dots. They represent people groups that have no church, that have no Bible, that have no Christians. They're your neighbors. That someone in that group wants to get saved, they have no idea how. It's not that they're rejecting Christ, it's they don't even have a choice to follow him because they don't know his name. And it is indeed the church's calling to reach those people. And so you see that the majority of the red dots are there in that 1040 window. Now there's some in other places as well, but the majority is there. And so we want to make it our aim, our focus, to reach those who have never heard the gospel. I want to show a video. Some of us have seen the video. I know I've seen the video 20, 30 times probably. Every time I see it again, I'm stirred, I'm blessed, I'm encouraged. It's a video just bringing out the reality of the imbalance between the areas of the world that are reached and we're continuing to send missionaries to, and the areas of the world that are unreached and we're not sending missionaries there. And the reality is because it's hard. But just because something's hard doesn't mean we don't do it. And we need to have a focus. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep us from reaching those that so desperately need the gospel. And so this is the passion of our hearts. This is the expression of our worship, is to see people reach. So I'm going to play the video. It's a 4-minute video, and let's watch that. And so that video certainly helps put in perspective of the unreached. Now, he kind of ended the video with how difficult it is. And that's one of the things that we experienced as we went and scouted the land and prayed and just thought about how we could do what you know, we feel like God's called us to do, which is, to go plant churches, to start like training centers, Bible schools, whatever it might be, raise up the nationals and to send them out. And, this is something that is something God's put in our hearts. But to do that in these areas here in the Middle East, it's kind of a new area. I mean, we've spent a lot of time, over a decade, of just a real strong focus in Africa. We spent another decade of a real strong focus in Asia, where a lot of the red is. And we're, of course, continuing to work in those areas. It's not like, well, that we got tired or we reached all of them and we're good and we're moving on. But, those ministries are still happening. The next front that we feel like God has placed on our hearts here in, 2020s is the Middle East. And we don't really have a strong base there, and that's what we'd like to see God raise up. But we a lot of times say the unreached are unreached because they're hard to reach. They're difficult. So much easier. We just had a great missions trip in Mexico, and it's just, God's blessing. There's like 44 church plants now in the last 20 years there in Mexico from the one church that we started in Rosarito under the leadership of Pastor Mike Vincent. And it's awesome to see what God's doing. And, it's hard though, because you go there and it's like, yeah, you just go out and preach the gospel and do the work and it's awesome. And you can just raise people up and plant churches and you put it on Facebook and bring people and do outreaches, and just like we do in the States. It's a lot easier. It's a lot harder to go to the place like we just came from. It's very difficult. It's very dark. And it's something that we need to recognize, that just because it's hard doesn't mean we can't go and doesn't mean we should not go and focus again on the 97% of the areas that are reached, and that's where most missionaries are going. It's crazy to think on every dollar that's given towards missions from the church, only one penny is going to the most needy people in the world. So we do believe that God has called us to have a laser focus of we must be a part. We're not the solution. We're just one church, but we must be a part to see that changed. And so myself and my wife and the interns just are praying about God's heart and God's will for us to go into this darker area. We recognize it's a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. He says, "Finally, my brethren," many of us are familiar with this passage, "be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Listen, our battle is not with people. Our battle is not with religions. Our battle, of course, in the Middle East is not with Islam. Our battle is the enemy. It's the same enemy. It just comes in different forms. In fact, those that live in the Islamic bloc are people that are seeking God. They're seeking Allah. That's just the you know, Arabic name for God. They're seeking God. In fact, I saw a police officer. His car's right here. He's a police officer. He rolls out his prayer rug. Listen, they have traveling prayer rugs because they pray five times a day. He rolled out his prayer rug, got on his knees, on his face, and prayed to Allah. And you think about it. I'm like, wouldn't that be awesome to see our police officers roll out rugs and seek God, but seek the true and living God, right? I mean, so, you know, a lot of times we're afraid, we're intimidated. These are people that are spiritually hungry. A whole, not just nation, nations are spiritually hungry. The first thing they do when they wake up, the little kids, is they're reciting prayers before they even get out of their beds. They have a call from, you know, their center of worship, which is called the mosque, a call to pray. It's misled. It's demonic. It's false. But how will they know the truth unless we come and show them? They know nothing. They only know what they know. They only know what they grew up with. And this is indeed a battle that we're in. We took a video one night from our hotel, kind of the dining room there. There was a balcony. We took a video that I want to show you. It's 55 seconds long, and it's simply a normal daily thing that happens in the Middle East. It's the call to prayer. So I want to just show you guys that. It's eerie, to be honest. When we tested the video before church this morning, I was like, this is kind of weird that I'm going to show this in church, because it's a call from a mosque. Now, there's one mosque. You'll see it in the distance. It's lit up. But there's also other little mosques all around. And the call to pray, it's very confusing, because you hear one mosque over here, and they start the call. And then 1 minute later, another one starts the call, and they're competing, you know. And there's all these loudspeakers. But this is what's happening, and they're calling the people to come. It's time to pray. This happens five times a day. You're going to hear some testimony where we're actually able to be in the home of a man that is the imam in the mosque that does the call to prayer, and be able to share with him and give him a Bible. God is opening doors. We have to be willing to risk our lives, put ourselves in that place, to go into these dark areas. So let me just roll that video real quick for us. You know, as I hear that, and as I've heard, you know, even our brother Nadim, who's serving in Pakistan, and he actually serves just really amongst Christians, because it's so dangerous. But the spiritual oppression, I met him in Hungary, and he said, it's so amazing to be in a country where there's not this, like, heavy weight. This is what people live under. It's not as if they have a choice to pray. They're required to. It's the way you were born into it. It's not like you decided to follow, you know, Muhammad. It's like you must follow him. You can't question him. You can't question the Quran. You can't even an honest question, you don't ask those. You just obey, you follow. The oppression, the women are being so oppressed in these countries. And outwardly, you know, people will spin things and try to make things look pretty. I'm going to just tell you, I've been there. I've seen them. I've talked to them. the testimonies are horrific. And some of our team members experienced some of those testimonies when we were there, hearing about things that are just unbelievable. And so, you know, it's something that we need to recognize, that we need to pray, we need to be girded up. And again, it'd be a lot easier to go to other countries of the world, like Hungary or wherever, Mexico, wherever, and just plant a church and do the thing. But to go into these places is risking your very life to just go. But does that mean we stop going? Does that mean we go where it's easier? And so that's the challenge that for those that are praying about moving there, obviously is really counting the cost in a radical, radical way. And so I'm going to cut the live stream. Those of you that are on live stream right now, love you, sorry. Wish we could give you this, but for the security of those that will be sharing, we're gonna cut the live stream. And so Lord bless you guys.